This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Thursday, April 10th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope everybody is having a great week. We got plenty to get into today. Brandon Graham talked about just how retired he actually is. We have some Justin Simmons audio to play. AJ Brown gave a speech at the University of Miami that I want to play for you guys. I thought it was really good and really spoke a lot about like who he is. And then, of course, we're going to keep it going with our mock draft of the day. A player at number 32 that we have not seen the Eagles take in any of the mock drafts so far. So let's dive right into it. And first, before we start this, there's a lot of audio today from the Kay Adams show. Kay Adams, of course, of Up and Adams. I want to give her some props. She is unbelievable at getting players to say things. Like her interview style, the way she makes them feel comfortable. So we got three clips today from her show. But if you're not listening to it already, make sure you follow it on social. Make sure you listen to her podcast. She deserves your download because she does an awesome job getting players on and getting them to say interesting things. So with that being said, she had Brandon Graham on, who looked like he was recording it from like his car in a random parking lot. Imagine running to Target and you look over and you see Brandon Graham recording a podcast interview in the driver's seat. Pretty funny visual to see him do this. But regardless, he talked to Kay Adams about just how retired he is. And here's what Brandon had to say about how retired he is.
How retired are you?
I'm 90% retired. I'm 90%.
I love that. That's my favorite answer. God, you have given me such gold over the years, and that is the best answer. You're 90%. Okay, let's break it down. 90%. The 90 I get, baby girl, yeah. Retirement, the torn tricep. All what's the ten?
The 10 is how much I want to continue to train the way I'm training. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to look good and training for a game is different, but I haven't really changed that yet. I just want to go out there and speed it up to where I want to look good to make sure that I'm, you know, staying fit. And while I'm still rehabbing my arm and making sure that when I do retire, I'm staying in habit of that, because a lot of guys tell me when they leave, you got to make sure you stay in habit of working out, doing what you do, because this is our first time really being off and not really having to train for anything. So I got a new motivation. It's just to look good, because if I'm going to be on TV and want to talk and have my suits on, I got to be looking good. So and I want to be healthy for my kids, like you said, my family. And I got a new motivation now. So that 10% is just in case, but I doubt it, because I try to be a man of my word, and I don't want to have to play up and that back and forth stuff. I'm just going to accept it and just move on and get ready for what's next, because I feel like I'm going to make the next thing great. You know what I'm saying?
You will definitely do that. But all I heard was you're not fully.
I know.
I heard the door is not cement, bolt lock, master lock shut. I heard you're going to stay in shape, which you're going to stay in shape because in January, you might get a. We got to go face Mahomes. You told me you wanted to sack and you didn't get your paws on in the Super Bowl. And I feel like you'd answer that call. Am I right?
And you know what? We ain't there yet. But if it happens, we could say you say the first.
So the 90% retired thing is obviously going to pique interest from fans. And I think this is a discussion that is likely going to be had come training camp time, or maybe in the first few weeks of the season or at some point of the season. Because the unfortunate reality is the Eagles are probably going to deal with one injury at the edge position. Frankly, they could deal with a few injuries at the edge position. Injuries happen. And when those injuries do happen, you are going to see a lot of, should the Eagles call Brandon Graham? Should he come out of retirement? Should he come to training camp? Should, you know, it's 4 weeks to go in the season. They're Super Bowl contenders. They need, like, there will be discussion about Brandon Graham. So, a couple things. First, I do think, first, like, talk about being relatable, saying he wants to stay in shape so he looks good in his suit. Like, who hasn't been there, right? Who has not been like, the sole purpose for me to get in shape is so I look good in the clothes I have on? Been there, done that, felt that. So I respect him for that, especially as someone that, you know, does shoot videos and like goes on stage in front of people. I can definitely respect and appreciate that. So first of all, just staying in shape. I'm happy to see he is staying in shape. And I thought what he said is true about how guys that retire, like if you're an NFL player and you retire, you've spent so much of your life in such a regimented lifestyle, like up every day to work out, practice at this time, diet, workout. So it's good to see he's sticking with that. But the other thing is, I never got the sense Brandon was like 100% ready to retire. I do think if Brandon had not played in the Super Bowl, or let's say the Eagles would have lost to the Rams, Jalen Carter doesn't make that sack, I think he would have wanted to come back. Now, the question is, would the Eagles have had him back? And I do think if the Eagles would have said no to Brandon, which would have been really hard to do, to be clear, it would have been really hard to sit across from Brandon Graham and say, hey, we know you want to come back, but we're not going to offer you a job here. That would be really, really hard to do. And I do wonder if in that circumstance, he would have actually gone and played for another team. You know, I know he loves Detroit. You wonder if maybe that would have been an option for him. But regardless, it would have been an interesting hypothetical. But thankfully, it's not a hypothetical we live in. The Eagles did win the Super Bowl. So the real question is, would Brandon come back? I think he would want to. I think if in training camp, God forbid, knock on wood, like Nolan Smith tore his ACL, or like, you know, he was out for the year, or if in week 7, Jalix Hunt suffered an injury where he was going to be out 5 weeks and Bryce Huff wasn't playing well, and, you know, like all like Aziz Ojulari and Josh Uche didn't hit as like free agent gambles, I think he would want to. Like, that's just my read on it. Now, you never know, a few months from now, maybe his head's in a different place. Maybe he's enjoyed being retired. Maybe he doesn't keep up with his workout regimen, as so many of us often don't. But just doing the Brandon Graham show with him this year, being around him his whole career, and just listening to him, I think he would want to play. Especially if, let's say, the Eagles were 13-3, and he really only had to play in like 5 or 6 games, and he gets a chance to play another Super Bowl, I think he would absolutely want to do it. And I would not rule out the Eagles calling him. I would not. Like, if he's in good shape and feels he can play and they have a need, I think they would absolutely call him. So, obviously, had an awesome press conference to retire. And I do think having that kind of a press conference with, like, all the trophies and the family and the videos, like, it does make it harder to walk back into playing because you had such an official retirement. But I definitely think if the circumstances presented themselves and the Eagles wanted Brandon, like they were being like, come on, man, like we need you, I think he would 1,000% come back. So 90% retired, I think, is probably a good way to describe where I think Brandon is at. All right, next up, Brandon was asked about the Super Bowl. And look, we've heard a lot of players say a lot of things about the Super Bowl. This one I thought was especially noteworthy and funny. So Brandon said during the Super Bowl, they were essentially trying not to laugh as they were blowing the Chiefs out. So here's Brandon on the Kay Adams Show talking about that.
34-0. I mean, I was bored. I got to tell you, BG. I was like, I'm bored of this game. Like, it's a wrap. Let's go. But I learned my lesson, you know, a couple years ago, 28-3, of course. Like, that changed my, like, mind on how things can change. But, like, holy smokes. Like, I was bored. Yeah. I was bored to tears. I was like, yeah. Yeah,
I was laughing, like, yeah. You know, we was on the sideline trying to hold it in, too, because it's just like, we felt good going into this game because we had a great week. We had a great week of practice. The belief in that we was going to win that game, we knew that because of how just we showed it every day. And when it started happening, I mean, man, that's why we tried to stay low level because the Chiefs that year, you know, they was blocking field goals. They was doing a lot of stuff. And we was like, man, if we just take it to them, we feel like we could really do some things. And a lot of people give them a lot of respect and be a little nervous sometimes when they play them. But when you see some of the teams that play them, you got to play just with the same aggression that they playing. And you got to make sure that you, you know, just don't let Mahomes be back there running around, doing all the extra stuff, leaving open holes in the middle, stuff like that, you know, rush together. And so that was a big emphasis. Shout out to the coaches. Shout out to our team. I mean, it was really well put together. Vic had us ready, and it was a simple game plan, but it was an attitude everybody had to play with.
You knew that you didn't know it was going to be that bad. There's no way. You weren't shocked.
We knew we was not, of course, we don't think we're going to get blown out. We just was not worried about the refs. Like, that was another thing. We talked about that. Don't get into that game of, man, the refs this, refs that. Hey, let's just work our technique. Let's get ready for this. We can control what we can. Make sure that halftime, we're not watching no halftime shows, all that stuff. Let's stay focused. All that little stuff that goes into the Super Bowl, the distractions, you know, all that. We planned for that. But I think we gave ourselves our best shot because of Coach Sirianni talking about those little things. And then we actually practicing some of that in that, you know, like how long the – like at one practice, we practicing how long the halftime going to be, all that little stuff. That stuff matter. And when we used to it already and we get and we already ran through that flow, it just becomes second nature. And I think we knew we was prepared for that type of game if we all stay focused. And I mean, as you can see, that's what happened.
Man, if there's one thing I regret so much about, like, the season, it's not picking to blow the Chiefs out. I definitely fell into that trap that Brandon talks about of people are giving them respect. And look, they did earn it. Like, they were the two-time defending Super Bowl champions with arguably the best quarterback of all time. So picking a close game was not crazy. But the way I, like, poo-pooed people who said that they wouldn't blow them out, like, I was dead wrong. Like, and I'm disappointed because I was the one that was so clear all year saying they were going to blow them out, like that they were so confident and that they were so singularly focused. But it is, you know, just hearing Brandon talk about how confident they were and that, you know, on the sideline, they were trying not to laugh. Like, they really, really were always going to beat that team. They were always going to win that game. And man, it'll really go down as, like, maybe the best victory in the history of Philly sports when you consider the dominance, like the fact that it capped off a journey. Just really, really, really cool stuff. So I thought that was a cool clip of Brandon talking about that. All right, next up, we talked about this a little bit on the Go Birds pod, but we didn't play the audio of Justin Simmons talking about his desire, essentially, to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. So, once again, Kay Adams, killing it, has Justin Simmons on the pod. And here's what Justin said about playing in Philadelphia, potentially.
Right. The Eagles, though, I mean, how much does the connection with Fangio and Christian Parker, by the way, the DBs coach, how much does that help and tilt the scale a little bit? Be honest.
Yeah, it really does. Like, as honest as I can be, like, I'm a lot of it too, going back to your question earlier about Atlanta, like, there was a lot of new, right? There's a new system. There's a new way to do it. Like, going to Philly with Vic, you know exactly what you're getting out of me. And I know exactly what I'm getting out of them because I've been in the system. I still have a ways to go to mastering it, but there's some things and nuances that I know that Vic likes, that I know that Christian Parker likes. And I think I could really help in that area. Obviously, them moving on from CJ and what he's poured into that city there is big shoes to fill. But I love what they have going on with Blankenship and the rest of the supporting cast there. So, yeah.
I mean, there's a couple things from that. One, the Eagles have gotten to a point where free agents are like begging to play for the team. They're like, please get me to Philadelphia. Get me in that building. Get me with those coaches. Get me with those players. Get me in those big games on prime time and get me a chance to win a Super Bowl. Like, if I've said this before, but if I'm a draft prospect right now, I'm telling my agent to do everything I can to steer me to the Eagles. And if I'm Justin Simmons, I completely understand wanting to steer yourself to the Eagles and publicly kind of talk about the potential of it happening. I am sure his agent has called the Eagles about the chances of it happening. So will it happen? I think it's somewhat similar to the Brandon Graham thing, only not really as injury related. The question is, how long of a leash are they going to give Sidney Brown and Lewis Cine at safety? And, you know, potentially if Reed Blankenship, knock on wood, were to go down, then I think Justin Simmons makes a ton of sense in terms of a veteran guy that knows the defense. But will they give him past OTAs? Like, if they have OTAs and they're practicing and they're going to those meeting rooms and going like, I just don't think Sidney can do it. Or, you know, Lewis Cine can be a good special teams for us, but you can see why he's been on two teams already. Like, then, like, are they going to do that? Or are they going to, if Sidney has a bad OTAs, are they going to say, let's get him to training camp. Let's see how he looks there. Let's give him a preseason game. Like, how long of a leash is Sidney going to have? Because I do think they are very open to making a trade if Sidney's not the guy. I don't think they'll make a trade until they feel that way. But the question is, how long will they give him? And that's where the Justin Simmons things comes in. Because if they don't like what they see from Sidney and Justin Simmons is still out there, then I do think you will see them go after him. Now, the difference is they've had shots to sign him. They could have tried to add him last year. Now, they did have Chauncey, which is part of it, right? Like, and they had Reed, so it was real no fit for him. There's more of a hole now than there was before. But if going into this offseason, they already knew that they thought Justin Simmons was a better player than Sidney Brown, they would have just signed him. Like, they would have signed him already. So I think this is going to come down to how long of a leash are they going to give Sidney Brown? And once they decide that, like, is Justin Simmons still available? Now, Justin Simmons didn't sign late into camp, if I'm not mistaken, last time. So I think he'll be around for a while longer. He's probably waiting until after the draft at this point. But yeah, we will see how Sidney Brown does in terms of right away the pressure to hold off, maybe not specifically Justin Simmons, but a Justin Simmons type player that they would bring in to try to fill the snaps if Sidney can't do it. All right, next up, I thought this was a cool clip. So AJ Brown tweeted this out. He went to speak at the University of Miami, and he talked about a lot of different things, but it sounds basically like a motivational speech. So here is AJ Brown talking to the students and then also getting them to say go Birds at the end. So here's AJ Brown.
Everybody think like, when I get this, I'm gonna be satisfied. When I get this, I'm gonna be set. But that's not the case, because when you do get that, will you be satisfied? Will you be fulfilled? And I can guarantee you, if you're chasing money, if you all are chasing money in this room, I would tell you all to stop. Chase your purpose. Chase a better version of yourself. Because I say this, if you get that money, you get what you want. Only thing that comes out is your bigger flaws. The real you shows up. I see it time and time again in NFL. And I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But I see it so many times. Your vices shows up loud and bright when you have that money. Because you're so fulfilling. You're trying so hard to get that money. But if you chase your purpose, you chase a better version of you, the money will chase you, guys. The opportunities will chase you. No, you won't have to beg for an opportunity. The opportunity will be begging to have you.
So as I say with a lot of these players, I'm not going to pretend that I like know them really, really well, right? But I am around AJ Brown quite a bit. I've been around him a bunch since he's been to Philly, obviously. I've had chances to talk to him. I've seen him on and off camera. And like, I just think that guy in that clip, like, that's who he is. Like, what defines AJ to me is he is a big time master of his craft guy, a big time pushing himself guy, big time like motivational quote guy. I'm sitting right here. I have the Inner Excellence right next to the iPad to record this on. Like, I know the Inner Excellence thing was viewed as like, oh, he's reading a book, and like, he lives by this stuff. Like, listen to him talk there. It sounds like he could have written Inner Excellence. And I love the thing of like, work hard and opportunity will chase you and you don't have to chase opportunity. Like, what a great quote and what a great like mindset to have. And like, I was listening to it and thinking like, maybe I need to work harder. So places, you know, whatever, right? Like, how could you not listen to that and think about working harder? So I know AJ sometimes gets painted as like a me guy and a diva and all, like he just isn't. Like, of course there's parts of every athlete that wants to be great that has some of those components, but you just listen to that and like, that's who he is. I think part of my job is I want to try to get you guys to know some of these players the way I do, or to show them a side that maybe you don't see on TV every Sunday. And I think that clip is like such a good indication of who AJ Brown is. So on the other side, we're going to continue our daily mock draft, as the draft is only 14 days away. We're 2 weeks away from the Eagles making their first round pick. So on the other side, we'll jump into that. But first, a word.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From our sponsors. Okay, so we are officially 2 weeks away from the Eagles making their draft pick. Crazy to say. It's wild we've already gotten to that point. But as you know, this week and up until the draft, we're going to do a mock draft every day talking about a different player that an NFL draft expert is expecting the Eagles to take. And today, we turn to CBS Sports and Pete Prisco. Pete Prisco has been in the game for a while. Like, I've been reading Pete Prisco since I can before I can remember. So credit to him, still going. What a job by him. So Pete Prisco projects, and we're going to get down to number 32, but it does seem, and I'll say this every time, but like, Cam Ward's going to the Titans at number one, and it feels like more and more mock drafts have Travis Hunter to the Browns at number two. I think that'd be a mistake, but it seems like that's what's going to happen. So he has Cam Ward to the Titans, Travis Hunter to the Browns, Abdul Carter to the Giants. This one was a surprise. Tight end Colston Loveland to the Panthers at number 8, going ahead of Tyler Warren, and Loveland going inside the top 10. That would be a surprise. Walter Nolan of Ole Miss, some we've talked about quite a bit, to the Dolphins at number 13. I feel like that's higher than I have seen him on most other mock drafts. Tyler Warren falls to the Colts at number 14. Now, that's noticeable. That's noteworthy, because if the Colts draft a tight end, you wonder then if that is no longer a landing spot for no longer a landing spot for Dallas Goedert. So Tyler Warren to the Colts at number 14. Malachi Starks, our boy, the Go Birds player, to the Vikings at number 24. If I'm the Eagles, I'm trading up at that point. I'm jumping to number 23 or 24 and trying to get Malachi Starks. And then my new draft crush, Kentucky cornerback Mad Max, Maxwell Hairston, to the Rams at number 26. So that means the Eagles at number 32 draft safety Nick Emenwuri. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it. I listened to him say it a bunch. I wrote it down phonetically. Nick Emenwuri of South Carolina. So Pete Prisco writes, quote, "They traded Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to the Texans, so they replace him with a safety who can do a lot of things. Sidney Brown is still there, but this would be good competition for him, a player some compare to Derwin James," end quote. So first of all, if they draft a safety at number 32, it's not competition for Sydney. Sydney is not the starting safety if they draft someone at 32. Remember, we did this with Quinion, and I was part of it last year. Like, well, maybe he'll have a redshirt year. Maybe they'll put him in the slot. So you're just going to play him. Like, if you draft someone in the first round, you're just going to play him at the best position. I mean, we've seen how we do that time and time again. So really only Andre Diller didn't get that, and maybe there was good reason for that. So Eamon Wherry of South Carolina, 6'3", 220 pounds. Last year, he lined up 414 snaps in the box, 146 snaps in the slot, and 193 snaps deep. So he is a close to the line of scrimmage guy, not deep very often. First, you just look at him, 6'3", 220 pounds, elite size for a safety, and just a freak athlete. All the, combine numbers, all the athletic stats, or I'm phrasing this poorly, but all like the advanced athletic numbers people look at. God, I sound dumb saying this. He has great testing numbers for that. So he is a great athlete, excellent in the box, as the snaps indicate. So I think the concern with him, well, let me stick to another positive. Positive is he's projected to be able to play nickel right away. Good in man coverage, excellent tackler. So he's someone that you could potentially like put him in as a third safety where you have two deep and you let him just like roam around in the box. But my concern with him is just all the scouting reports you read talk about. He's just not a great single high or split safety at this point. He still makes a lot of mental mistakes. A lot of the safeties you read, it's like high football IQ, great at processing, can run the routes as good as the receivers. That's just not really what you read about him. So I do think he would need time to develop. And so maybe in that way, like Sydney would start over him. But ultimately, if they draft a safety at number 32, he is going to play. So I'm all for drafting a safety at number 32. I like Xavier Watts better. I like Malachi Starks better. But Nick Eamon Wherry, 6'3", 220 pounds, like super athletic compared to Derwin James. I would certainly take a shot at him at number 32. So this is now the fourth day in a row the mock draft has had the Eagles using a pick on defense, and they've used a lot of picks on defense recently, so they likely will again, but it is interesting how for an offensive team built on passing the ball, you don't often hear about them A, passing the ball, or B, using the picks on players that help the passing game. So regardless, that will do it for today's daily podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're that much closer to Friday. So enjoy your Thursday, and I will talk to you soon. He's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.